Today's reading will come from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the Lord. Thanks be to the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come, not just at Christmas, but in that end time as well, Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Question for us today, is Christmas a holy day or a holiday? The etymology of the word holiday actually comes from two words, holy and day, and you squeeze them together, you scrunch them together, and you get the word holiday. But over the years, the word holiday has become a bit more associated with the broader secular celebrations, you know, sometimes we refer to as the Easter holidays or the Christmas holidays. And it tends to imply things like time off, vacation, long weekends, and school being out. Whereas when we talk about the holy day, that seems to be more aligned with the religious aspects of the occasion. And for some of us, the two are pretty much interchangeable. But for those of us who like to make a distinction, you might say the difference between the two is that a holy day is the reason for the season. Jesus. And the holiday? Well, that's more the cultural time. Santa and all the fanfare. Hey, let's explore the two this morning. Another question. How many of you are good, fine, okay with the TV commercials, store decorations, all that happening in the month of October? Raise your hand if you're good with that. Come on. We at least had one last night that raised their hand. All right, well then how many of you really don't appreciate the early start of all of that? Raise your hand. Okay, well, it was 3 weeks ago. Well, it wasn't 3 weeks ago. It was 3 weeks before Halloween. Let me step back. 3 weeks before Halloween this year that I heard my first Christmas carol. I was taken back just a little bit because it was the earliest I'd ever heard a Christmas carol 3 weeks before Halloween. And then just 2 weeks later, 6 days prior to Trick or Treat, Hallmark featured its earliest Christmas special of the year. Again, I was a bit surprised. Halloween candy had not even gone on sale yet. Hallmark now has a grand total of 136 Christmas-themed movies. 40 of them are brand spanking new productions for 2019. Well, if I hadn't shown my hand yet, as already indicated, my very first impulse was to be a bit put out at this uber-early run on our sacred holiday, holy day, let's say it right, because in essence, the holiday season backing up so far just kind of opens the door for commercialism and that jump start for all those Christmas sales even sooner. It's going to be like Black Friday before you know it. You know, Black Friday now begins at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Did you know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. 6 p.m. You know, they're going to start calling Thanksgiving now. They're going to refer to it as Black Friday Eve. When I was growing up, we only sang Christmas carols starting on Christmas Eve. During the Advent season, we sang Advent songs and we built up to Christ's birth. And we anticipated then singing all those carols during those 12 full days of Christmas. Instead now of most people just being sick and tired of singing Christmas carols by December the 26th. I recall my dad reminding me of the old timers. They didn't even decorate the tree until Christmas Eve. Does anybody remember those days? Yeah, I'm not making that stuff up. And the parents are the ones who decorated the trees on Christmas Eve. They did it behind closed doors. And then they opened the living room door, presenting the tree with all its grandeur and wonder, just like a bride coming down the church aisle as the back doors spring open and she walks down for her wedding day. Yeah, but for the last 20, 30 years, Toys R Us, Amazon, Apple, Walmart, all these companies have moved up the start date for the Christmas rush. And I've grown just a little bit to taking some minor offense at this violation of our holy time. So initially when I heard that first carol 21 full days before seeing the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown special, I internally screamed, "Are you kidding me?" But it wasn't long before the Holy Spirit tapped on my shoulder, convicted me, and led me down another path as I was preparing for this message. I began thinking, why not? Why not play Christmas carols in October? Why not play them in July? Why not play them all year round? That maybe I might not necessarily like hearing them out of season. I mean, like somebody going deer hunting in July. Brian Mellering. I mean, we all know it's illegal and no one in this congregation does that. But, you know, it's just not the right time of the year. It's out of season. And so, like singing Christmas carols at Reformation when we ought to be singing, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Or singing Christmas carols at Easter when we should be singing, "Jesus Christ is risen today." So some of us, not all of us, but some of us might be referred to as, well, the more liturgical, the more purist when it comes to uptight churchiness. Don't like to sing such songs out of season. Like to keep our seasons nice and neat and clean, distinct. Proper place. But maybe, just maybe, those who do like to hear Christmas carols before the first cold front blows into the hill country, maybe they need to hear those Christmas carols outside December. I got to asking myself, what is the purpose of Christmas? If not to celebrate the birth of Jesus coming into the world, and so much so, particularly for those who severely need to know about him and to hear about him. You know, in our day and in our time, there are far, far fewer Christians in this world. Far, far fewer Christians in the United States and even in Fredericksburg. And maybe, just maybe, more people need to know about God sending his son. Not just 1 month out of 12, but 12 out of 12. Maybe carols need to be played at storefronts while tourists are here at Oktoberfest. Who there might not even be a believer, and they're going through a turbulent time. In the background, they hear, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." They hear that word calm, and that tune and those words plant the seed of God, a God who seeks to give them peace in their storm. Or who in a crowd of parents, while taking their kids from house to house, collecting candy from strangers on October 31st, might have slipped away from Jesus, slipped away from the church, and they're carrying an old guilt, an old sin, a pain that weighs heavy in their heart, and they just need to hear, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." And it moves them to start praying again and to give that weight and that burden, that sin back over to God. Or who might even be an atheist or an agnostic on Main Street during the Gillespie County Fair Parade, and they're dealing with a terminal illness, and they might not even be around for the next Christmas. And they hear from a car radio, "Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save." And it leads them to turn to a friend who knows and trusts Jesus, who then invites them to church where they hear that good news and their soul is yet saved. You know, I'll admit, I'm not a big fan of those sappy Hallmark B-grade movies. But if someone hears one over Labor Day weekend and it inspires a lost soul to be saved, or a saved soul that needs some strengthening, then count me in. Our Bible reading today from John 1 says the Word became flesh and lived among us. So if a holy divine God could step out of his heavenly realm and come walk along the side of me and you, wrap himself in skin, be born in a barn among stinky animals, all to offer salvation, forgiveness to sinful humans in order to save hell-bound souls, then we as the church need to be in a greater business of reaching out in whatever form, whatever fashion, to reach these souls as well. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christmas is not just for me and you in the church. It's not just for our gratification. Christmas, Christ being born, is for the hearts of those who need to hear him most, wherever they are in whatever time of year that may be. In past years, we as the church have sort of been, I want to say, we've sort of acted entitled. Entitled to our sacred time of Merry Christmas. And you know, when we get entitled, you expect it. You think it should be that way all the time. And you should always see those signs that as you enter into a town that say, Merry Christmas, instead of season's greetings. As we live in that day and that time, we're going to have to think more creatively. We're going to have to speak more assertively to help people make the connection. And here it is today, the connection that there's a whole lot of holy in the holly. That there's a whole lot of Christ even in Xmas. How many of us might even get offended at that sign that we've seen sometimes in storefronts? It says, Merry Xmas, just like this. We think that that is somehow, some way, an abbreviation of Jesus' word, that we're cutting out the name of Christ. And on the surface, I get that. That's what it sort of looks like. But get this. The X is not actually secular. The X is actually very religious, because the X is not even an X. The X is actually the New Testament Greek alphabet letter for CH. CH in English, and thus it is the first two letters of Christ's name. It spells out Christos, CH, which is the X in Greek, CHRISTOS, Christos. But it's up to us. It's up to us as Christians to help people make the connection, to connect the dots, to see the holy inside of the holly. On top of that, you take that X and you turn it just 90 degrees one way, what do you get? You get a cross, the instrument on which Christ saved our souls he was born to die for. You see, if we can get past our thoughts of entitlement, our thoughts of this is the way that it's always been, this is the way that it always will be, our defensiveness about the holy, and see that there is a lot of holy in the holly, the world is teeing us up. The world is helping us to see the godly connection, but we've got to open our mouths and we've got to help the culture to see. We've got to be more bold, not fighting against the society, but getting into the midst of our culture and to help people to see. For example, all the red of this season, what does that point to? But the blood of Jesus Christ, in which we'll participate this morning in Holy Communion. And the green is everlasting life. The tree reminds us that he too will hang on a tree. It's a foreshadow, not just of his birth, but of his death. And it points all the way to heaven. All the lights that we see in market plots and hanging on people's rooftops, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The wrapping paper on our gifts, Jesus was wrapped in skin and human sin to take on the punishment that we deserved. All these things are ways to say that these are segues, symbols, colors, songs, carols, Hallmark even, to lean us into the conversation about not just talking about a holiday, but the Holy One. You see, the holy does not need to be pitted against the holly, because again, there's a whole lot of holy in the holly. If we, brothers and sisters, will help others to see it. The world is not against Christmas, and it's not stealing Christmas from us. But it's possible that maybe we, the church, are stealing Christmas from the world by not inviting people to see and to know what we know. It was the Thanksgiving holiday last weekend. I was looking over my plate of food, and there I saw that salt right in the middle. And it reminded me of this message today. It reminded me about how salt helps season things. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way to flavor food. But in order to do that, the salt can't stay in the shaker. It has to come out. People who are not Jesus followers are not just going to get it. They're not going to read it in the yellow pages, maybe even in the newspaper. It takes friends who are connected to them, who care enough about their souls to allow the salt to come out of our shaker. And this time of year is the prime time when we can make that connection, for people are leaning towards us. They're hearing these songs. They're seeing these symbols. But we've got to make those connections, brothers and sisters. I think we saw the perfect example on Friday night. Who was at the parade this last Friday night? Oh my goodness, the lighted Christmas parade. And among all of the holiday hype, that, you know, there was the Santas and the reindeer, the Grinches and the snowmen. There were 130 plus floats, 10,000 people on the sidelines. And among all those floats, there were just four that were mixed in that pointedly directed towards Jesus. A minor percentage, but a major role. Our float right there in the middle of Main Street is right beside the candy canes and all of the fanfare of Christmas. But that's where God would have it be, walking alongside the world, not tucked away safe in some church just singing our songs, but right out there in the middle, where God in the very first place came among our sin and our darkness and our chaos, bringing light and hope, forgiveness and salvation to this chaotic, mixed up world. That's exactly where he wants us to be as well. Here's our Holy Ghost float. Not of the world, but in the world. Right alongside our neighbors, right alongside our underchurched friends, uplifting the holy in the holly. Inviting them still to the Sunday school program next week, or one of the four services that we'll have on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day service, or even New Year's. You know what? They may thank you eternally. So come out, salt. Come out, light. Come out, leaven. Do your thing. Speak up. Point out Jesus. And not just this month, but all year long. Amen.